to, you know, you see all these things. They have
okay.
Yeah, well, Ruthie, we're changing seats.
We're starting again now. This is tape two, and I'm talking with Sam Gross, and it's May 1st, 1993, and Mr. Gross is 97, will be 98 in August of this year. And we were talking, we'll go a little more quickly now, but we were talking about Bridgeport and how you changed your name to get a job, and then you were called down and you
changed the right name.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just when you first came to this country, do you remember things about it that struck you as very different from anything you had known before?
Oh, naturally, New York City, you know, compared to the town that I was in, you could put the city that I was in a corner of New York City. In fact, in the beginning, I was lost. What I mean to say is, I got myself a job after this. I left some of it out. After I didn't have that job that I was referring to, I got myself another job on 6th Avenue and 28th Street, pleading ladies' wear, you know, like dresses and so forth, you know, please. Like side pleats, box pleats, you know, all those pleatings. I got myself a job there.
Did that involve sewing or pressing, or how did you make the pleats?
The pleats, they had patterns, paper patterns, not paper. It was a heavier than paper patterns. And the patterns was already made. Then we used to put the cloth over one, and then we put another one over on the other one, and then we rolled it up and put it in the steam, and we steamed it. And after we took it out, let it dry out, and then dry it out, and then it was pleats. And that was on dresses. But then they had machines, like a sewing machine. They had, you know, when they made the pleats, like on clothes, on women's clothes, like on not on dresses, mostly. They had small pleats, like, you know, like about 4 inches wide, you know, 4 or 5 inches wide. And I got that job over there, but that didn't pay a lot much either. So that's why I went to Bridgeport.
I see. And then what did you do? Can you just briefly tell what else you did in your life for work?
After that, my cousin, I had a cousin, so he said to me, let's go over to Detroit. Because Detroit was a big manufacturing city. And I got myself a job. Well, I'm gonna leave out some, huh?
Okay.
I got myself a job with a Packard Motor Car Company, and I worked there for quite a while. But my cousin didn't work. He got himself some kind of a teaching job. Because he was more or less like a student, you know, and so he got himself a teaching job there, and we were there together for a while. Then I came back to New York, wherever I went, I went to Detroit, I went to Cleveland, Toledo, Cincinnati, around there. Then I went from Cincinnati I came back to New York. I was here for a little while, but I couldn't get a decent job in New York. So I took off again and went to different places like Chattanooga, Tennessee. I went there, they were making oil well machinery. And I got myself a job over there, and they liked me there too. From there, I went to Birmingham, Alabama. And I got myself a job, but I didn't like it. So I only stayed there a little bit.
When did you work for the railroad?
For the railroad? When would that be? During not long after, I got myself a job with the Pennsylvania Railroad. Then I...
What were you doing for them? What were you doing?
I was already a machinist. I was working as a machinist. You see, I learned the mechanical trade by myself. I learned it piece by piece. I'll give you a little idea how I learned it. In Bridgeport, there was a locomobile company, automobiles, expensive automobiles, and they done everything by hand machines. They didn't have automatics there. Everything was done by hand, and the allowance was only about 0.002". But I got myself a job there, and the foreman came out and took me in. He asked me, you know, you're a late man? I says, yes, but I never worked a late. And I came in, you see, they had sections like lathes. They had a lathe sections of, let's say, a half a dozen machines that are working on lathes instead. So they came, and the foreman took me in, and I was standing there, and I was watching how the other fellow was working his lathe, while the foreman went to get material for me to work. And I was watching the other fellow, and I was working. I was doing the work, and they liked it too.
And how did you meet your wife?
Oh, that's a story. That's a beautiful story. My cousin was to get married. And they made a big wedding. So my aunt had two daughters. She wanted my wife's brother for her daughter, so they invited them to go to the wedding, and they said, come on, you'll have a meal. All right, so I went along. But this wedding, I was best man. Tails and all, you know, as a best man should be. And after the ceremony and so forth, the dance, I was on this side, but on the other side, I seen my wife and her brother. So I went over to my wife and I asked her for a dance. And she says yes, and we had a dance that was a waltz. And I says, can I come and see you sometimes? Yeah. Next morning, and I lived at that time in Brooklyn with a cousin of mine. And next morning, I took the subway and I came to 96th Street and Lexington Avenue. I went and called my wife because she gave me the telephone number. I called my wife. I'm on 96th Street and Lexington Avenue. Can I come up? Because they lived on 97th Street and Lexington Avenue. I says, can I come up? Yes. Anyways, I took her out.
What was her name then?
Frances.
And her last name?
Ackerman. Frances Ackerman. I took her out. We went to Central Park. They had a lake there in Central Park. And they had boats that they rented out on the lake. So we got a boat and we paddled around in Central Park. And I took her home.
What did you like about her?
Everything. It was just like a magnet. She was beautiful. Show her the picture.
Oh, wow.
You see that picture over there?
Yeah, yeah. She is beautiful. Yeah, she was. Uh-huh. So did you court her a long time before you got married?
7 months. Mm-hmm. 7 months later, we were married. Yeah.
And then, how many children did you have?
We had two daughters and two boys.
And their names? The names of your children?
Estelle, Gloria, Melvin, and there's somebody around here.
Yes. Somebody around here. He better be here, Dan, otherwise I wouldn't.
Alfred? Is that? Uh-huh. Okay, so do you have grandchildren too?
Oh, yeah. I have grandchildren. I have great-grandchildren.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So when you look back on your life, when you look back on starting out in Hungary and making the decision to come, what do you think about that? What does it mean to you to have come here as a young man?
It means to me to be on my own. And I was working hard on think that I had a picnic. I had no picnic. I had to work hard. Because, as I said, what did I know about mechanics? But after... If you'll excuse me a minute.
Wait, I need
to... Oh, no, never mind, never mind. I'll show it to you after.
Okay.
Estelle, on the top of my dresser, there is a
she knows what she wants.
Yeah, she'll get it. So you didn't know anything about mechanics, and you learned it yourself.
All I knew about the machine that we were making sold it. All that's all I knew. But that was all the mechanics that I knew. And then, you know, I learned here, a little there, a little there, and till the time.
Okay. We'll wait when we're finished. We'll look at it.
I'll show it to you.
Well, what is that? What you're most proud of? Is that what you're most proud of?
Yeah.
Learning a trade yourself.
Myself. The only thing is, before World War II, things was hard. It seems that the Germans was sinking the boats that left America to different places, so they didn't manufacture too much because they were sinking it. So I opened up a grocery store on 8th Avenue and 132nd Street. And it wasn't much of a success. Why? Because I made one mistake. Because I had the AMP on the next block, and on the other side they had a big store. And I opened up a small store, so it wasn't much of a success. So, anyway, I had it for 2 years. But I thought to myself, now I gotta go ahead and learn the necessary thing to be a real mechanic. So I went to high school and learned blueprints, because blueprints is a job all by itself, you know.
Did you go at night?
Yes, mm-hmm. after work, I went at night to school, and I learned blueprint, and I was a real mechanic then. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was working in a place in Brooklyn, where they. A job place, you know, they were taking jobs from different things and working on blueprint. When I had that thing there, I seen something that didn't jive, you know. Somehow it didn't. So I brought it in to the engineer and I showed him. See this here, doesn't look good to me. He says, thank you. And he took and made out another print. Anyway, that's the reason they fired me after, because the foreman was a German. They didn't particularly like me because I was the only Jew there. But the fact is that when it started to get, you know, slackened up, they fired me, the first one. And why? Because I shouldn't have brought that over to the engineer and to the office. I should have given it to the boss and showed him, and he would have, the honor that he found out the mistake. So they fired me.
Do you think much about all your experiences now that you have more time and you can, you don't have to go out and work and you have time to think?
My mind is just like a book, just like keep rolling around. I can just think every day. I can't go to sleep without thinking.
Does it bring you pleasure to think about your life and your experiences?
It brings me pleasure, but sometimes it doesn't let me sleep.
Okay, well, before we close, is there anything else you'd like to say about coming to this country?
About coming to this country? What could I say more? I can only continue. Oh. I got myself a job in Pennsylvania, Scranton. I got myself a job in Scranton and the Pennsylvania Railroad. That was already after I was married. Mm-hmm. And Estella was a little bit of a baby. So I took my wife and Estelle, and we went to Scranton. But my wife didn't like it. She was in a hotel there. She wasn't home. She didn't like it. So I had to give the job up. But that was railroad stuff.
Well, are you glad that you came to the United States?
Huh?
Are you happy that you made the decision to come to the United States?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had hard times here. I had very hard times here sometimes. But I worked it through.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you very much. It's really been a pleasure hearing your story, and I want to say that I've been speaking with Sam Gross, and it's May 1st, 1993. You'll be turning 98 in August, and you came to this country at age 16 in 1912 from Hungary, and this is Janet Levine signing off. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're very sweet.